Renee Pettinger from Midlands Open Door is a friend of our churches. We have had a long relationship in terms of going to the Open Door to help with the bi-weekly chapel services, semi-weekly, I don't know, it happens twice a week, whatever the word is for that. We go there once a month to help with those efforts, and we've had cookouts and other events. We've had a long relationship with the Open Door, and Renee, you've been here before, but today you come to share with us about an exciting ministry opportunity that is called Bridge of Hope. It's something that I am hopeful that we will be able to join here in the very near future. So Renee, welcome. We're glad you're here. Please come and share with us.
So, share a little bit about the Bridge of Hope program, which has been a newer program to the Open Door for about a year. And then I'm going to share about one particular person's story. So, back in 2015, we really started to take notice of a growing trend that we are seeing, and not just seeing it here in our community, but across the nation. And that's of homeless single mothers and their children. And we were seeing that we could not keep up with the need. And so the very first thing we did is we transformed a living room into another room, another family room. We started it on a Monday. We had some volunteers there. And by Saturday, the room was finished and it was filled. And we continue to see this need. So Open Door has been growing in a sense that most people don't know this, but 2 years ago we didn't have staff. And so we now have a staff of 16, and that has been a true blessing because it means being able to walk with people in a level of consistency that I think if we all look inward, we know is needed, right? We have to have those people kind of striving with us and helping us. So that's been a good thing. But it also made us start to look at what do we do about this continued issue of these single moms and their kids and not being able to have enough space for them. And so we knew about a program. It's a national program called Bridge of Hope. And as we started to look at it and talk to the Bridge of Hope National team, it was a really easy decision for us because it is in step with our model of ministry. We firmly believe that Jesus changes people, right? That it is through the power of the gospel that people's lives are completely transformed. And at the Open Door, yes, we feed people and we clothe people and we provide shelter for people, but that's not why we exist. We exist because we believe that Jesus changes lives, and we want that for our neighbors. And God, by his grace, has given us a platform of being able to feed and shelter and clothe people, right? And it sets the table for us to say that, yes, you know, we want to love you and give these things, but we have something greater. We have a greater hope that can change, radically transform your life. That's what we're about. And so Bridge of Hope is in step with that. Meaning it has this idea and this beautiful picture of taking someone without a family and placing them in a family. As the psalm says, he takes those who are lonely and he places them in a family. We get to see that every day at the Open Door. Most of the people that come to the Open Door, they have family. They may not. But most of them are isolated from the people that they once called family. They're looking for a community, and so that's what this provides. Now, with Bridge of Hope, it places that together in kind of an aggressive way. So what it looks like is we take a mom who is either living in shelter who is in a crisis, meaning they're going to have to move into the shelter, and we partner them with a local church who provides 6 to 10 volunteers. And then one of our staff members, we have a social worker who will work with the church and with the family. So mom and her kids are able to move out of the shelter and into housing right away. Or if they're at risk of losing their housing, they're able to stay in their housing. Because the way this works is the program pays for their rent for up to 2 years. But it isn't just free rent. It actually is a step-down process because they're working on specific goals of moving forward. So greatest example I have for this is we had a mom 3 years ago who stayed with us in shelter. At the time when she first came in, she had two boys. I did her intake. This lady is a tough cookie. I mean, she was from Midland, met this guy, drove down to Mississippi to live with him. Things went south really quickly. She packed up those boys. She was 7 months pregnant, and into our driveway comes this U-Haul. She drove all night. And she comes in, and, I mean, she's snapping her fingers at these boys, and they mind. she's just tough the whole time. She's giving me the information she needs. And then we get to this question near the end of our intake paperwork, and I say, okay, I need an emergency contact person. And just instantly, puddle of tears. Because she didn't have anyone. She had no one. And so we begin to look through the cell phone, and I'm asking the question, okay, if something happens to you, I got to have someone to call to take care of these babies. So who do I call? And so we found someone, but it was a lot of like, do I put that person down? Is there someone better that I can find? So now fast forward to about a year and a half ago. At this point, Chrissy is in a home. She got a government grant that was 18 months. She got free rent. Great, right? But it came with nothing else, meaning it didn't come with any other help. So Chrissy moved out of the shelter where she had housing, right? Moves into independent housing, which is wonderful. Her rent's being paid, and Chrissy continues to live her life, and now she's a part of the Open Door community. We see her all the time. She volunteers with us. She comes into the soup kitchen. We knew that she was going back to school and she needed somewhere to do her work program, so we said, come and do it with us. She worked in our office. And it was an opportunity for us to continue to pour into her. Because we were living in community with Chrissy, we saw another crisis coming, meaning she came to us again on another day in tears saying, my grant's going to be done next month. I have no money. I have no way to pay for my housing. Praise God that at the same time we are training Bridge of Hope churches, and Chrissy is a perfect fit for Bridge of Hope. She doesn't have any of the crazy barriers that often exist, like drugs or domestic violence and things like that, that are often hard to then partner a group of volunteers with. And Chrissy was already connected to one of the local churches that we were already training for Bridge of Hope. So before Chrissy had to get to the point of moving back into shelter, we were able to partner her with this program and with this church. So here we are. That was about a year and a half ago. Chrissy is paying 60% of her rent. So the way the program works is we start out, we're paying 100% of the rent up front. But there's a goal and there's a process to help Chrissy get to the point, help any mother get to the point of being able to take care of their own bills. And so gradually, the amount that we put towards the rent decreases, and the amount that the mom has to pay increases. So at a year and a half, Chrissy's credit is stellar. Chrissy's graduated with her associates. She has a better paying job. She not only has a better paying job, she about one, just over a month ago, she was promoted. So it meant an increase in pay. And 2 weeks ago, Chrissy actually sat down with Isabella Bank and was qualified for a loan for a house. Now, for Chrissy, that is tremendous because it means that her rent that she pays now with three boys will dramatically go down. Her mortgage will be cheaper than her rent, which is it's huge for her. But more than that, if you were to ask Chrissy now who your emergency contact is, she has a list. She has a list of people that she considers her family. Midland Reformed Church has walked with Chrissy this year and a half, and prior to that, they were getting to know her already. She has people. When she she got called in on a weekend to work an overnight shift, there wasn't a question about who was going to watch the kids. She was able to call people from her Bridge of Hope team, and they came in and they helped. And every week after school, at least 2 days a week, there is this older couple who go and they pick up the boys and they hang out with the boys, and they're modeling what it looks like to see a godly marriage, to have a man in their lives who loves Jesus and can model that to them. So Chrissy is this wonderful story of hope and redemption that happened because a church said, we want to do something different. We want to go a little deeper. And it's hard. This isn't a Pollyanna way of thinking that it goes smooth and everyone does what you want, right? Because sometimes we're sitting down with some of our volunteers and we're like, they just won't get it. Nope, not yet. And maybe not for a long time, right? But we don't always get everything right away either. And so it's a great forming process for all of us. And God uses us to shape everyone. But this program works because it has a longevity to it. It isn't something, you know, we provide shelter, clothing, food, right? We're meeting needs every single day at the open door. But what people don't always see, what's not always on the surface, is that to walk with someone when things don't go well, when maybe they don't treat you the greatest, to continue to walk with them is a picture of Christ. And it takes time for lives to change, right? We have the righteousness of Christ in an instant, the minute we come to know him, right? We have it. It is ours. But we are learning how to live that righteousness out. And Chrissy, over the last year and a half, has been learning what it means to live a new life in Christ, making really hard decisions in some respect to demonstrate that her allegiance is not to the job or even to her boys, but that her allegiance is to God. And so our goal is to continue to add more churches, more neighborhoods is kind of how we look at this. That means that more and more of these single moms that come to us for help will have a long-term solution. So a year ago, we had two churches that we partnered with single moms. Just last weekend, we trained another church, and we're getting ready to launch that one in the next 2 weeks. And so we're excited. We want to continue doing this because it does work. 85% success rate. And that's not because we have some magic pill we give people. It is truly because of this willingness to commit to walk alongside someone, right? It's a picture of Christ. It's giving of yourself constantly to see the good of another progress. So I want to share a video of a very different story, and then I'll tell you a little bit about that. But I think it demonstrates the hope that we have through the gospel and how that changes the way we help and support others.
Never really got a chance to tell you how much I appreciate you and how much you mean to me. Thank you for having faith in me, even when I didn't have faith in myself. You taught me it's okay to love. You taught me so much about life, but you taught me so much about myself also. You show me that not everyone is bad, that there is good in the world. There is warmth and light in the dark world. Even when I am at my worst, you don't give up on me. Thank you so much.
So, Open Door, our desire is to see lives transformed. So people come in with all their baggage, whatever life looked like before, and we're able to point them to new life and what that looks like, both relationally, with finances, with just life in general.
Dreamy came to us with her two little girls and was pregnant at the time, and just coming out of a bad situation from down south and returning back to Midland. And so she came and had a lot of trust issues and had a lot of anger issues.
When Rainey first came in, we saw the walls immediately, and there was just no getting through. I mean, we even saw the walls in her kids.
When I first came to the Open Door, I was scared, nervous, emotional. Pretty much just thought it was me and my kids against the world. They showed me that there wasn't just me and my kids and that there are people to help.
To begin to see Rainey transform as she learned to trust, she learned that just because she got angry or just because things didn't go as planned, we weren't going away. We weren't going to, okay, we're done with you because you messed up. Because that's not what God does with us. He stays with us. He walks with us.
Things that are different are I don't get as angry as quick. It does take a lot more to set me off. I do trust more people. I do trust in God now. I see my daughter has, her attitude has changed a lot.
A few months back, there was a really big hurdle in Raimi's life. And, you know, if you ask Raimi about it, she'll say she messed up in a big way. But at the same time, the whole thing that happened, the whole messiness was redeemed. And it was redeemed very quickly. Because even in that, those people who had come alongside that Raimi learned to trust, she came to right away and said, I have a problem. But it didn't define her future, and it hasn't defined her future, because she had people, she had that community walking with her.
My future looks way better than it did for me and my children. I see them being happier, I see me being happier, learning more every day about life and itself. What makes me smile is my kids and seeing that we're becoming a better family.
People's lives are changed. We don't put a timetable on it. We are there to meet needs. We are there to be the voice of calm and reason when there's when a crisis hits in someone's life. So whatever walks through the door, we're there. We're ready. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So we filmed that story, Raimi's story, about 2 years ago. And we had known Raimi about a year at that time, and she was no longer living with us. She was in her own place. And then I would say about a month, maybe a month and a half after we filmed that, Raimi experienced not just crisis upon crisis, but trauma upon trauma. And It's amazing to look back and see how the thing that sustained Raimi and the thing that sustains us is Christ. That's it. As I was praying this morning, and just thinking through how to be an encouragement, because here's the thing, is that every single person in here, you've been through something, right? And to you, it might seem huge, and to the next person I might say, well, that's nothing. You know, what I've been through is crazy, right? But yet the same God, the God of hope, is what Scripture says, is with us and changes us. And the beauty in that of that is he can take someone like Raimi, who her story, she grew up in foster care. Her dad was in prison. Raimi has screwed up. She's done drugs for a lot of years. About a month after we shot this, and I got a call in the middle of the night, and it was Raimi's drunk neighbor frantically screaming that something's wrong, their police are here, and I didn't know what was going on, and I don't always think, and I just drove over there. Sure enough, there were police all over. And I walked in, and as I'm walking in, Raimi's boyfriend, the father of her kids, is on the side of the walk, arms behind his back, and he's shouting at me, Mr. Knight, everything's okay, don't worry, everything's okay. Looking around, seeing all the police cars, not everything's okay, right? And so I go to walk in, and I see Raimi there. She's talking with a female police officer, and she is yelling about the fact that they're taking him away. And all I can think of is, where are those babies? And so I walk into the house that 2 days earlier was clean. It was no longer clean. The drunk neighbor that I had grown very fond of, just a nice person, was blasted, standing there at the sink, scooping ice cream for Raimi's 3-year-old. And Savannah comes to me, and she says, Daddy's bad, he's going to jail. So I scoop her up and ask where the other two are, and They're sleeping. So I didn't even go down that side corridor yet. So I just sat there with Savannah trying to make sense of everything that was going on. And then Bree, the two-year-old, comes out and crawls up on my lap, and she's no clue what's going on. And I'm trying to get them back into the bedroom, and I go back to the bedroom, and I see a door that is basically in half, hanging by a hinge, the door to the kids' rooms. And there's that baby sleeping through all of this. And this is a picture, a real picture of what chaos can do when you have no clue what's going on behind closed doors. And I would love to say that night that things got better after that, but it didn't. He did go to jail, and he did some time in prison, actually. And we continued to try to minister to Raimi, but she continued to kind of take a turn. She got to the point where she got tired of what she was doing. We had to intervene at one point because it was dangerous for those kids at that point. And God, in his weird providence, I guess is the best way to say it, Raimi called 2 days after she had truly decided that she wanted to be done with this way of living and going back to drugs. And she called, and long story short, I picked her up, took her to the store. I had to go out to the women's shelter, and so I took the girls with me while she did her shopping, and we got a phone call that the complex that Raimi lived in was on fire. So, and that was 2 days before Christmas. And so Raimi once again moved back into shelter with us. And so you see these little kids who have experienced trauma after trauma, right? They watch their dad get hauled away. They watch their dad do things to their mom that no one should ever have to see. And now we're picking them up and driving and watching their entire house burn, and they're watching their mom respond to this. And yet, in that darkness, the light of Christ was there. There is this keeping factor, friends, when it comes to the gospel, that it keeps us. And that there is hope there. That is the only place that there's hope. You know, Paul does a wonderful thing in all of his epistles where he ties the word endurance to hope all the time. And there's a reason for that. Because he wants us to see that hope, that endurance produces this hope that we all long for. And I share the story because, now, number one, we would never pair a Raimi to a church. Because Raimi's got a lot more going on than our Bridge of Hope families. But I share this because it's a little bit more of a dramatic story. But it's because that's how far God's love will reach. It didn't mean that God didn't have Raimi. It didn't mean that. Because he sustained her through that. The song that we started this morning with, 10,000 Reasons, it always trips me up when I see the 10,000 Reasons, because Savannah, Raimi's oldest little girl, we would sing that all the time, that second time they came into shelter after her, after the house fire. Because Savannah didn't ask to sing 10,000 Reasons. She would always ask to sing A New Day Dawning. That's what she called it. And that was much more hopeful, right? Because a new day did dawn for them. Raimi and her kids have been in their own place for over a year now. Raimi did not go back to the children's father. Raimi comes to the open door every single week, and we do Bible study together. Every week. Raimi has not touched drugs in over a year. She is learning how to be part of a church. It's hard for her sometimes to do that, but she's learning. And those babies are seeing the goodness of God. They're hearing about the goodness of God. They're hearing and they're seeing that there's hope. Raimi's a different person. She's not a different person because she came to the open door. She's a different person because Jesus saved her. So friends, whatever it is that is troubling you today, we could talk about Open Door and Bridge of Hope all day. The reality is we all carry something, right? We all have something that is a burden to us. And the God of hope, the God who delivers, will deliver you. I want to read a passage in Romans 5. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Hope does not disappoint." So we can rejoice, Rainey could rejoice in what she went, not right away, right? But Rainey can rejoice in what she went through because it was producing something. Paul calls our struggles and our trials light and momentary in view of eternity, right? It might not feel light, it might not feel momentary, but it is producing something far greater. It is producing endurance. Endurance is producing character, and character is producing hope, and hope doesn't disappoint. So my encouragement to you today is to lean heavily into the God of hope. He is the only one that delivers. He is the only one that can allow you to walk through storms, walk through the providence that he has given us, and still praise him and still worship him. He is the one that gives us a new day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you are the God of all hope. God, we thank you that you are the one who delivers. God, that in you we are secure. So God, I ask in the name of Christ that you would help us today to not only know that, Lord, but to believe it. God, that through the power of your Spirit, that you would give us your peace. God, peace that transforms, peace that continues to hope, even when it seems that there is no hope to be had. So God, we praise you and we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your Son, that it is through you and to you and for you that we have anything. And so God, help us to please you, to walk in obedience, that others might know that you are God who saves. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.